Okay. Hello, everyone. Good to see you again. Before we start today's lecture, I would like to ask you, how many of you have successfully connected to your Sky-High virtual machines? How many? Okay, who hasn't connected to your Sky-High? Okay. Yeah. Is there any special reasons?
COVID.
Huh?
COVID-19.
COVID-19. Okay. Okay. Good. I hope you recover very soon. So if you still have trouble connecting to your Sky-High virtual machine, try to connect, contact our teaching assistant, Victor and Felix. Okay, so they will be able to help you. And for the, let me see, I remember there is one person who hasn't had an account yet. Yeah, so this person, I don't know the full name. So if you are the person who has these usernames, then your account is now created, so you can use it. All right, let's look at our schedule this week. So we have lecture today, and then our lab will be on this Friday, and from 10 to 2 p.m. However, the rooms are different. So we are going to E building, and so there are two rooms available for our lab. So you guys need to separate in two different rooms, but try to sit together with your groups, okay? And then, so basically the first 2 hours is for you guys to practice all lab assignments. So there will be some tasks for you guys to practice Linux command that we are going to introduce today. And then the third hour is for you to discuss with your group. If you have some questions you are not sure, and you can discuss. And then you are going to receive so there will be a solution files on our Blackboard, so you can download the from the Blackboard to check with your own solutions. Then last hour that we are going to have a Kahoot competition. So this is by groups. So you need to join with sit together with your group and participate in the Kahoot competitions. Is this clear? Okay, good. And then next week we are going to talk about different topics like TCP, UDP, IP addressing. So I need you to watch two videos before we have that lectures. So the first video is an OSI model. You can see the hyperlink there here. And then this is another video talking about TCP and IP model. So watch these two videos before you go to the lecture next week. So then you can understand what I say. Okay? So this is like what you need to know first. Okay, then we can continue the lecture. So last week we still have two slides not finished. So the first one is a telnet. Okay. So telnet is one of the earliest protocols which enable users to remotely log in to their servers. Okay. And so basically we can use telnet to log in to a server and then execute commands on that server. So but this protocol is insecure because everything sent to the server is not encrypted. Okay, just like when we talk about this, what do we talk about previously? Yeah, just like so forget what I say because I saw that because I'm teaching another course. I saw I already talked about another protocol. Okay, so by the way, I know what's going on. So this is the last slide, and I'm supposed to talk about FTP first. But anyway, we can continue. So this protocol is insecure. okay, everything sent is not encrypted. So that's why it has been replaced by Secure Share, which is SSH. So this is the one that you use to connect to your Sky-High virtual machine, right? Do you remember this command, SSH? When you try to connect to your Sky-High, you need to type this command, right? Why? Why do you use this one? Do you remember that you also need to specify your private key, right? Because this is a secure protocol. You need to use your private key so that you can be logged into your Sky-High virtual machine. Okay. However, if you are just using Telnet, you don't need to use, you can, maybe you have to enter your, like, your type, you need to type your own password. But the protocol itself is not secure because everything is not encrypted. Okay. And then this is the previous slide. This is FTP. So FTP stands for File Transfer Protocol. So we can use this protocol to transfer files, to share data with other people. And this protocol is based on this client and server model. So as you can see from this picture, so there is one server called FTP server. So this is like the central storage devices server. And then it can serve multiple users. Okay. And this user can use different operating systems and using different FTP clients such as FireZilla, CyberDog, or WinSCP. Okay, so it can be anywhere. Okay, as long as the FTP server is on the internet, has its own IP address. Okay, and so basically we can use this protocol to easily share files with other people. And this protocol, just like Telnet, is insecure because everything sent to the server, the connection between client and server is insecure. It's not encrypted. Okay, so because of this reason, it has been replaced by SFTP and FTPS. So this is like two different protocols, but they are to address this security issue of FTP. Okay. Okay, I think that is it for this, for last lecture. Now we are going to talk about command line interface. Okay. Okay, do you remember that we had a mentee in the first week, right? And I know that many of you don't have experience using command line interface before. So this is a chance that you can learn command line interface and learn some useful Linux commands. And later on, when you work on your project, okay, your group project, you will need to use many of these commands to make it happen, okay? So there will be two lectures regarding Linux commands in this course, and this is the first one, and will be another one. But just let you know that these two courses are quite intensive. So we are going to introduce a lot of commands. So you will need to use your Sky-High virtual machine and to practice these commands, to try to be familiar with these commands. Okay. So this slide show all the topics. So firstly, we'll talk about what is a command line interface, what is a SharePoint, and then what are the options and arguments. Then I will introduce some commands for you to navigate and explore Linux directory tree. And then we will talk about file permission and also some commands to manipulate files and the directories in Linux system. Then I'll show you how to change our rule into, for example, super user or root user. Then also how to get help if you don't know how to use a command. All right, the first one. So what is a command line interface? So as you can see from this picture, this is a command line interface. You don't see any graphical elements. You don't see any icon, windows, menu, nothing. You only see the text, okay? So this is a pure command line interface. So we can use this command interface to manage our computers, files, users, you know, different things. And we can also run different commands to manipulate our file systems. You might also hear some other names such as prompt, console, terminal emulators. So basically, they mean the same thing, terminal, command line interface. All right? So let's look at the shell prompt. So in this course, we are going to focus on Bash. Bash is a kind of a command line shells, which was developed in 1980-something. So it's quite long time ago. And these commands, so this kind of shells is able for us to execute commands. And whenever your shell, this bash, is available, you can see this message. This entire message is called shell prompt. Whenever you see this, it means that your shell is ready to accept any command from you. So you can type any command that you want to execute. Okay. So and a shell prompt also shows a lot of information. So for example, you can see your username, and you can see your computer name. You can see where you are in your Linux directory tree. Okay. And then you also show your role in this computer. So in this example, Katie is my username, and it shows that my machine name is Ubuntu. And then you can see this tiered symbol. You see this one? Okay. It shows that, okay, I am currently in my home directory. Every single user in Linux has its own home directories where he can, you know, save his files or directories. And the last symbol you can see here, this is a dollar sign. Okay. Dollar sign means that your identity is a regular user. Okay. And you can also see a pound sign. Pound sign means that your identity is a root user, or you have a super user privileges, meaning that you can do whatever you want on this computer. Okay. So you might ask, how do I change from a regular user to a super user or root user? I will show you a command later, okay, in this lecture. But anyway, you can see a lot of things just from this shell prompt. Okay. And have you noticed that your shell prompt on Sky High is Ubuntu? I mean, the username is Ubuntu. This is a default username. Okay. And then, so here it will show Ubuntu in your case. Okay. In your shell prompts. And then it will show the name that you choose for your virtual machine. All right. And you can see, so by default, you can see this tiered sign on your shell prompt. It shows that you are currently in your home directory. Okay, and of course, that symbol must be a dollar sign because you are just a regular user. Okay? And before we move on, there are some tips which are very useful. So so basically you can see these keys on your keyboard. So this upper arrow key enables us to see all commands that we type previously. So if we want to, for example, issue the same command that we typed before, but we don't want to retype again, you can just hit this upper arrow key, try to hit it until you find the command. Then you just press enter, then the command will be executed. Okay? So this is very useful. You don't need to retype, especially some commands are very long, especially when some arguments are quite long. So you can use this to save a lot of time. Okay? And then there are these two keys enable you to move your cursor to the left, to the right when you are on the command line. So for example, you are typing something. You would like to change something, you can use these two keys to navigate your cursor. Okay? Then this tab key. Tab key is quite useful. So we can use this to, for example, we are typing something, which is quite long. And then we can use this, we just type this we just hit on this key, then you will automatically complete a command or the file name for us. So this is quite amazing. You can try this by yourself. Do I speak too fast? No? Okay, is this clear? Good. Okay, let me know if you have any questions, okay? And then there are also some tips. So let's say if you have executed many commands and your screen is quite messy, then you can clear all the contents on your screen by just typing this command, clear. Then all of a sudden, everything will be gone. Then you will see the very clear screen. Then you can continue typing your commands. And the most important thing is that in Linux, everything is case sensitive. What does this mean? So, in Linux, uppercases and the lower cases are treated as different. So, for example, these are the two files in Linux. They are called abc.txt. However, you see this is uppercase A, this is a lowercase a. But they will be treated as two different files in Linux. Okay? So you can name so many different files with the same name as long as their cases are different, then they will be treated as different. Similarly, John and John will be treated as two different users in Linux. Okay? So you can have one person with this uppercase J and another one with a lowercase j. Okay, they are two different users. Okay? And then also for the folders, like directories, you can have a folder called documents. Okay, with a lowercase d and another folder with a uppercase d, they will be treated as a difference. This is a very different from Windows, because in Windows, we can only Windows doesn't have this sensitivity. So as long as you have a name, so basically you cannot change to uppercase or lowercase. So there will be only one file called abc.txt in the same folder, unless you store them in two different folders, right? So this is very important, okay? Okay, now let's talk about options and the arguments. So normally, a Linux commands often followed by one or more options, and followed by one or more arguments. So for example, you can see this is a command called ls. I will teach you this later in this course, in this lecture. And then you can see this is an option. And this is my home directory. This is like an absolute path name to my home directory. So what does this mean? So this ls is a command, okay? And these three letters are the options. Whenever we specify an option to a command, it changes the behavior of the command. So it's like we tell the command what to do, okay? And then arguments like the item upon which the command acts. So for example, this is an argument. This is slash home slash case argument. Okay, meaning that we would like this command to work on this object. Okay, this is like a target. Okay, so later on you will see that when we introduce a lot of Linux commands, you can see so many different options. And then arguments is designed by you. All right, now let's talk about some commands that you can use to navigate and explore Linux directory tree, including pwd, cd, ls, ls, and cat. But before this, we need to know what does it look like to be a Linux directory tree, right? So in Linux, all files and all directories will be organized in one single tree structure. No matter how many storage devices, how many hard disk drives you have, you attach to your computer. If you are using Linux, there's only one tree structure. Look like this. It will look like this. See, the topmost directory is called root directory. Okay, so it is represented by this symbol forward slash. Okay, and then you can see some branches, right? So each branch is like a subdirectory, like a folder. Okay, where you can store something. Okay, and then at any time, so the directory that you are standing in is called your current working directory. So for example, if you are the BIOS, okay, if your username is Bill, you might then get to your subdirectory, which is called school, right? So then this is your current working directory because you are working on this. You are here. So the absolute path name for this directory is /home/BIOS/school. Okay. Let's say if you change it to another directory, for example, dev, okay, then your current working directory would be /dev. Okay. So basically, in Linux, you can navigate, you can move to any, directories if you want, because this is like a default permission for all the regular users. So you need to know where you are, okay, in Linux directories. And in Linux, as I said, that each user account has its own home directories. So for example, in this picture, you can see there are two users. One is called Bill, the other one is called Patrick, right? So by default, this can be changed, but by default, Bill has its own home directories under /home. So the absolute path name to his home directory is /home/bio. And for Patrick, okay, his home directory will be /home/Patrick. Okay. So every single regular user has its own home directory, including you. Okay. So you can try to type this command, pwd, okay, on your sky-high. Then it will show that where you are in your Linux directory tree. And when you log in for the first time, you will see that you are in your home directories. So for example, if you can see this is tiered. So tiered means home directory, right? So if you type pwd, then it shows like, okay, this is the absolute path name of your home directories. And in my case, it's a /home/kd. And in your case, it will be /home/what? Ubuntu. Ubuntu, yes. Yeah. Okay, is this clear? So, what can you use this, when do you use this command? When you are lost. When you are not sure where you are in your Linux directory tree, you can type this command. Because it will show the absolute path name of your current working directory. Okay? Is this clear? Questions? No? Okay, try this. So here, these are some examples. So you can see this. This is a letter. This symbol shows forward slash. So what does it mean by this symbol? Anyone? Yes.
It's the root directory.
It's a root directory, right? So, you can see actually that Katie is now in the root directories. So if she typed pwd, then basically it shows the share will shows forward slash. Okay. And then let's say if Katie move to one of her subdirectories called desktop. If she typed pwd again, it shows that this is like an absolute path name her home current working directory. So this is a /home/kd/desktop. Okay? Questions? And by the way, pwd stands for print working directory.
to just print. You ask the shell to print your current working directories. Show where you are now. All right, the next command is called cd. Cd means change directory. Okay, we can use this command to go to a particular directories. Okay, we can specify the path name of the directories. So the path name can be specified in two ways. One is called the absolute path name. So it always starts from the root directories, just like what we show you, what we see earlier, right? So for example, if I would like to change my current working directories to documents, okay, then I can type it like this, /home/kd/documents, okay. So then you can see that I have successfully changed my working directories to this document directory. The other way to do this is to use a relative path name. And relative path name always starts from your current working directories. Okay, it's like a relative to you where you are now. And we need to use two special notations. One is a dot. Did you see this dot? And the other one is a dot dot. This is like a double dot. Okay. And dot, in Linux, it has a special, these two have a special meaning, in Linux. Dot, a single dot refers to the current working directory. Double dot refers to the parent directory of the current working directory. Sounds a little bit confusing, right? Okay, so let me ask you questions. What is the difference between these commands? There are three commands here. CD, you can see this, only CD without any dot, no options, no arguments. The second command, you can see CD, and this is the white character space, okay, and with this single dot. So the single dot is an argument to the command, okay? And this is the last command, CD, space, double dot. Anyone know the differences? Yes?
The first one would try to change directory to the user's home directory.
Yeah?
The second one would do absolutely nothing, correct?
Mm-hmm.
The third one would change the parent directory.
Yeah, very good. You have a big one in Linux, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. Okay. So let's see the first command, cd without anything, without any dot. Okay, so this command will always send you back to your home directory. So let's say if you want to go home, just type cd. Okay, no dot. Cd equals go home. Okay, clear? So let's say my username is Katie. And I do know that my default home directory would be /home/Katie. So which is here. So let's say if now I'm in this DOC directories and I type a CD, then I will go back to this directory because I say CD means go home, right? What if I am here? If I am in the root directory, where am I going to if I type a CD? Anyone? Yes. Yeah, home. Yes, here. So I will be go home, right? Like this. So what if I'm in this directory? The answer will be the same, right? Go home. What if I'm in math directory? This is someone else, our home directory, if I have a permission to go there. So if I type a CD, where am I going to? Yeah, the same. Okay, home, go home. Whenever you go, whenever you want to go home, just type a CD. Okay, then you can go home. Okay, so this command always send a user back to his or her home directory. Clear? Okay, you can practice. You can try to move to different directories and then just type a CD and see if you can go home or not. Okay, the second comment is a CD, and there is a white space character here, and then single dot. And in Linux, we said this single dot means current working directory, right? So if we type this command, basically nothing happens because user will not go anywhere. Okay, so here you can see this is some example. If I'm in the root directories, I type a cd dot, nothing happened. I was still in this the same directory. If I'm here, I type a cd, the same, I was still in the same directories. And you might ask, Kerry, are you kidding me? Why did you teach us this if nothing happened, right? But you know that we can specify this single dot to different commands, then something happened. Okay, something different will happen. I'll show you this later. And these are the example. If we want to change our directories to one of the subdirectory. So for example, I have a subdirectory called documents. And this is the way that you can specify the relative path name with this single dot slash and the documents. However, do you know that the people use Linux are quite lazy? They try to type as less as possible. So in this case, the first two symbols, dot and the forward slash, can be ignored. You can just type documents. And you can even ignore the last symbol. As long as this directory is right under your current working directory, then you can just type this name. Okay? So next time, don't try to type it so complicated. relative path name. Just type documents if it's just right under your working directory. Okay? And you can confirm if you are lost, just type a pwd, it should say, yeah, okay, Katie is in this directory. Is it clear? Good. Okay, this is the last command, cd with a double dot. Okay. So this command will always send a user to the parent directory of his current working directories. So let's say if I am in this doc directories and I type a cd dot, where am I going to? Anyone? The answer is here. Katie, right? Because Katie is the parent directories of doc. Right? So Kelly will go here. So what if I type a cd dot again? I will go to this home directory. What if I type the same command again? I will move to the root directory, right? What if I type again? Yes. Yeah, nothing changed, right? Because the root directory is the uppermost directory. There's no further directory, so there's no parent directory. So if you are here, don't type cd dot, okay? Because there's a topmost directory. Very good. Clear? Okay. Okay, let's talk about this command, ls. We can use this to see a content of our current working directories. If we want what is inside these directories, we can just simply type ls. And in this example, it shows that these are everything inside the home directory. Okay. And we can also specify a directory to list if we want something. Directories. So for example here, I type a slash usr. Okay, so this is the argument to the command ls. And it shows that these are the everything in this usr directory. Okay? Can we use this command to show the contents of multiple directories? Anyone? Can we? Can we use this? Yes?
It's like a flag. I think it's capital R.
No, what I mean is that can we use the command to see multiple directories? The answer is yes. Yes. For example, here, can you see there are three arguments to the command? Anyone? So this is command, right? This is ls. This is command, right? The first argument is slash usr. Did you see? So this is a folder. This is like a directory. So this is the first thing that we want to see what is inside. This is the second argument. This is a slash home. We want to see what is inside this directory. The last argument is a forward slash. What is a forward slash? Come on. The root directory, right? So actually, we are three. We use one single command and try to see the contents of three different directories, right? This can be done by using one command in Linux. Do you think this is quite amazing? Very efficient, right? This is the reason why a lot of IT, administrators prefer using Linux, okay? Because this is very powerful, very efficient. Okay, so if you type these three commands, so what will happen? Let me show you. Okay. Okay, I am still in. Okay, so I am already logged out. Good. So if I type ls, this is the command, right? And the first argument, usr, just made bigger. Is it big enough? Okay. Then home and the root directory. Ta-da! Did you see? The command will separately show the contents of these three directories. If let's show what are inside, what is inside of a root directory, then it shows what is inside of a slash home directory, and then it shows what is inside of the usr directory. So you can just use one command with multiple arguments, then you can suddenly see a lot of directories. Okay, you can practice this by yourself. And this command are come with many options. You can specify different options, try to modify the behavior. So for example, if you want to see a lot of information, detailed information regarding what is inside of a particular directory, we can type this dash L. This is a long. It means display result in long format. Okay, if we want to reverse, we want to see the result in a reverse order, we can specify dash R option to the command. Okay, so you can practice this and maybe show you that these options. So this is a very useful option if we don't know the permission to the file. So for example, I type ls and dash L, and it shows that, okay, currently I have one file and one directory under my home directory. Okay, this is a tier, right? And then okay, bigger. Okay, then you can see this. So each row represents either a file or a directory. Okay, the first row is a file called A. This is a file name. The second row represents a directory. How do we know? We can see from the first character. Did you see this dash? If you see if you see dash, meaning that this is a file, it's just a regular file. If you see D, it means that this thing is a directory. Okay? And usually you can see the color, okay? But I'm not sure on Sky High if you raise the color difference or not. You can check. And then you can also see some other things. For example, the permission. who has a permission to this particular file or directory, and who owns the file, who owns, which group owns the file. So for example, you can see this. This is Katie, and it shows this is like the user who owns A, the file A. This is the name of the group who owns file A. And then this is the file size in bytes. And this last one is the modification, the last modification time, right? And if we look at this, they are, except the first character, there are 9 characters. Okay. These 3 characters are W dash, means the permission, the permission to the user who owns the file. You can see this is a R, W, and the dash, meaning that the user, Katie, can read, because R means read, and they can write, because W means write. She can read and write file A, okay? And then the file being 3 characters R, dash, 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 dash mean nothing, okay? So meaning that the group called Katie, every single members in this group is able to read file A. Nothing more, only read, okay? Because this, if this is a W, means that the member can, each member can write, can modify the file, but nothing here. So this is like a disable, okay? So each member can only read. And then the last 3 characters shows the permission to everyone else in the system. Okay? And as you can see, this is R, dash, dash, meaning that everyone else can only read the content of a file A. Okay? So this entire thing is called file mode. It shows permission attributes for 3 types of persons or users. This one is owner. Owner is a person who owns the file or directory. Owner group, okay? Because in Linux, we can group people and then give them different permissions to different files and directory. And the last one is called world, means everyone else. So we can use, we can just read these 9 characters, then we know who has a permission, who doesn't have permission. Is this clear? It's like a decoding, decrypting the meaning. Okay. Now is I think we can take a break, and then when we're back, we can talk about this. Okay. Guys, we will resume the lecture from 11:15. Okay? Hello, guys. Since many of you are here, I would like to do some commercial. We are calling a reference group. So currently, we have two members in the group. We need one more. And it would be nice to have someone from Big Data program. So if you are taking Big Data program, please join this reference group so that we can know your opinions and your fellow students' opinion regarding this course, then we can improve. Okay? So don't be shy. Oh, thank you. Please send me your full name and email address.
I will send you on.
Yes, perfect. Okay, now it's good. Now it's 12.
Sorry, you need someone from
Big Data? Yes. You're not, oh no. But you are welcome if you would like to join us.
Programming.
Yeah, you are welcome as well.
If, okay.
Yes.
You are from
Big Data?
Yeah.
Great. Welcome. Send me your name and email address. Okay, then we have four members now, which is very nice. And we should have our first meeting next week. And I would prefer to have a physical meeting in the T building, my office there. So we can go there and have a cup of coffee and then discuss how you think about this course. And then for the rest of you, if you have any suggestion regarding lectures, lab, TA, or something, just tell our reference group, okay? Good. Now is, I don't know, should we start the lecture? Because I think basically all of you are here. No. Okay, maybe we can wait for another 2 minutes. Okay, 1 minute. But how do you think the course so far? Good? Good? Interesting. Okay, maybe you can tell us what happened. Yeah? Okay, now we can continue the lecture. Can you see the screen from both TVs? Monitors? Maybe they are not TV. They are TV, right? Okay, yes. This is a table that you need to remember forever. No, not forever. Maybe just for this course. No, I'm kidding. Forever. Okay. Yes, this is a very important table because it shows everything that you didn't know regarding permissions, file permissions, or attribute permissions. So let's look at what this is. So we can see three attributes. R means read. Okay, read. And W means write. And this is X means execute. Execute. Okay, so in Linux we have two different types of files because everything, you know, in Linux we don't have like a definition, distinction between file and the directories because everything is considered as a files, but it has a different types. So one is called files, the other one is called directories. Okay, anyway, so files and the directories can have different permissions for different people. Okay? And they say, let's talk about files. So if you have this read permission, let's say if you have a read permission to a to a file, meaning that you can read the content of this file. This is very easy, right? Very straightforward, right? And then, let's say if you have a write permission, meaning that you can modify the content of the file. This is also easy, right? Okay. And you can also truncate, meaning that you can empty the content. You can like reset, like a truncate reset the content of the file. However, if you want to rename my cursor here, if you want to rename or delete the file, you need more. Okay, so it depends on the directories. Okay, it's not depend on if you have right permission to this file or not. And then, if you have execute permission, meaning that you can execute the file. And in Linux, we have, for example, if you write a shell script, you can make this shell script executable. And let's say if you have execute permission on this file, then you can execute it. Okay, so these are very simple, right? However, the same permissions to directories have a different meanings. Many people are confused. Okay, we will talk about this one by one. So let's talk about X permission. If you have X permission to directories, meaning that you are allowed to enter that directory, meaning that you can type a cd command. You can try this. So if you don't have X permission, then basically you cannot go inside. You cannot use the cd command, because cd command will say that you don't have permission to this directory. Okay, so you need to have an execute permission so that you can enter a directory. Alright, clear, right? Then W. So if you have a W, which means a write permission, but it's not actually write permission. So if you have a W permission on a directory, meaning that you are able to create, delete, or rename any file within this directory. So this is why I say that, okay, if you only have a read permission, you have a write permission to a file, this is not enough for you to delete or rename the file, because this is depends on the permission, or if you have a permission to that directory. Okay, and then you also need to have an execute permission. So execute permission is like the fundamental permission you need to have in order to be able to rename, delete, or create a file within a directory. Okay, in other words, you need to have both W and S permission on a directory, so then you can create, you can make new files, new subdirectories within a directory. Okay? Clear? Is it clear? This is very important, okay? And then last one is R, R permission. If you have R, okay, permission, then you are allowed to see the content of the directory, meaning that you can type ls command. You can see by using ls command. However, you also need to have have this X permission, because I say that the X permission is like the basic permission you need to have. Okay, so in other words, let me ask you a question. So what permission should we have in order to be able to create a file within a directory? What permission do we have? Should we have? Yes. What if we want to, let's say, see something, see the contents of a directory? What do we need to have?
RNX.
Yes. Yes. What if we just want to enter a directory? Yes. Okay. So as you can see, that X permission is the most basic permission we should have because we want to enter, right? So if we can enter, then we can create if we have a right permission. And if we want to see something, everything inside that directory, we need to have a read permission. So this is very different from the permission to files. Okay? So there will be questions like this in the exam. So make sure that you remember this table, the minutes. Good. Okay, now we can move on to the next command, which is called less. Next command enables to see the content of a file, especially the large file, by page and page. Okay. So the command syntax like this. You just type a less and then followed by the file name. Okay. For example, I would like to see the content of this file. This file basically contains all the password information regarding each single account in the Linux system. So if you type this, you can see a lot of information. Okay, and this is more than one page. Let me show you. Okay. Where's my cursor? Okay, here. Okay. This is a command, less, and this is an argument. Okay. If I type, hit enter, you can see that, you can see this. This is not at the end of a file. There are more. So you need to either hit the down arrow key to see more information, or you can type this key like this one. Page bottom or this, or space. And now you can see this is the end of the file. So this command enables to see the content of a file page by page. Okay? Clear? So what if you only have a small file? It only contains several lines. Not very big. We can use this command called cat. Okay? Not cat, yes. And the cat also has several different functions. So, for example, let's say, okay, I can show you. Okay, so currently, let me see if I have something. No, okay, by default, if you log into your Sky High, you don't see anything, right? It's empty. Your home directory is empty. So you need to create by yourself. This is very different if you have installed Ubuntu on your local computer. There will be some default directories under your home directories. So this is very different. Okay, so I have created these three. So they are all directories because we can see from the first letter, first character. This is D, right? So meaning that they are all directories. Okay, now if I want to use cat command, as I said, the cat command has several functions. Okay, the first function is that we can use this to create a short test file. And we can use it to see the content of the file. So let's say if we want to use a cat command to create a file called F1. So we just type cat and space and then this. Arrow sign, then F1. Then, now we hit the enter key. If you can connect to your Sky, you can follow me and type the command. Okay, now it's added more. So you can start to, type anything you want to be stored in this file. So let's say, I type 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, there are one more line, A, B, C, D, E, okay, like this. Then, to edit, to add more, you need to type Control key and the D key at the same time. So Control D. So now you're back to your SharePoint, okay? So now the file is created, and we want to see the content. We just type a cat F1. So it shows the content of the file. So we can use this command to either create a file, or we can use this to show, to display the contents of a very short file. Clear? Good? Yes. Okay, now I would like to show you some command we can use to manipulate file and the directories. Okay, they are touch. So this is not uppercase. This is a lowercase touch. Okay, T. Touch, mkdir, cp, mv, and rm. The first command we can use. So this command can, we can use this command to easily create an empty file. So let's say if, why do we do this? Because sometimes we just want to practice, right? So practice some commands. And then we can use this command to create an empty files. So to do this, it's very simple. Let me project, just give me a second. Okay, so in this example, you can see that I try to create a file called F1, okay? And so command is like, this is like a syntax. You just type a command touch, and there's a white space character, okay? And then F1, this is a name that you want to choose for your file. Then you can see that basically the command is created. The command is executed successfully. Then if you use the ls dash l to see this folder again, you can see this file is created, but the file size is zero. Okay, because as I said, that this command is to create an empty file. Okay. And then you can use a cat command to see the content of the file. And you can see nothing shows. Because as I said, this is an empty file. Okay. Okay. And then the next one, touch also have functions and which you will learn in the lab sessions. Okay, the next one is mkdir. This command allows us to create one or more directories. So the syntax looks like this. If you want to just create one directory, okay, you just type mkdir space and dir1. This is a name, okay? You can choose whatever name you want. Or you can create multiple directories using just one command. Then, for example, in this case, I type dir1, dir2, and dir3 because I want to create three directories altogether using one command. Okay? So, for example, you can see that this is what I have in my home directory. Then you can see that there is no directory called books. Then I use this mkdir space books to create a directory. Once I have hit the enter key, then the command is executed. Then it creates a directory called books. So after this command, you can see that it shows here, right? And then you can use this command to create another two directories. One is called papers. The other one is called music. Okay. Then after this command, you can see that papers where? Yeah, here. Papers and the music are created. So this is very simple. So now you can use a touch command, cd command. No, not cd command. Cat command. You can use a touch command, the cat command, and also the mkdir command to create folders and files in your home directories. Okay? So what happened? What happened if a directory that you want to create already exist. Then you will receive like a message like, oh, this directory exist. Okay. So for example here, you can see I have papers and music in my home directory, right? And then I type this command, then it shows that the shareable shows that cannot create directory because they exist. Okay. Now the next command is cp. Cp means copy. Okay. We can use this in two ways. We can either copy something. So for example, if we want to duplicate. So let's say if we want to duplicate a file into another one, then we can just give a just type a command. And this is item one. Item one is the file name to the file that you would like to copy from. And item two is the name of the file you would like to copy to. So like the duplicate. Okay. However, both item one and item two can be either a file or a directory. So this is very complicated. There is a table showing what will happen if item one is a file, item two is a directory. So I need you to practice this. There will be a task in the lab for you to do this. So the execution result of this command will be different depending on the type of item one and item two, and if item two exists or not. Okay. And then, maybe we can show some, we can have some example later if we have time. But let me continue the lecture. So the second way to use the cp command is to, we can copy multiple items into a directory. Okay. So the sentence is like this, cp item dot dot dot. Don't just type it like this, okay? You need to separate them, separate each item or each file by a white space character. So if we type this command not like this, just follow this syntax, then we are able to copy multiple items, files, and directories into this directory. So for example, here you can see that this is a command. You can see AA is a file in my home directory. And then, you can see I also have another directory called desktop. Okay. So this is like a subdirectory under my home directory. Now I would like to copy AA into desktop. So I type this command. Now, so this command is executed. Okay. Then if I type ls, desktop, then you can see that AA is inside this directory. And what I mean by this second way to use cp is that here you can add more files or directories here, just between AA and the desktop. Okay, maybe I can show you. My terminal. Sorry. Okay, now you can see that I have a, we just make clear. Okay, you can see that I have a three directories, right? Documents, DIR1, DIR2, and I have a regular file called F1. Even though it is empty, right? No, it's not empty because we add something here. Okay, now what I need to do, what I want to do is that I would like to copy, let's say I would like to copy documents and directory 1 and F1 into DIR2. So what I need to do is that I type cp command, okay, followed by a white space character, then document, and here you can type, you can just hit the tab key. Then the tab key will automatically complete name of a document for you. Did you see? I didn't type, right? I just hit the tab key. Then DIR1, DIR2, sorry, F1. And because the destination is a DIR2. Okay, so this command will copy documents DLL1 and F1 into DLL2. Okay? Okay, why is that? Because that you can see this is like an error message because we are trying to copy the directories, right? And directories, because directories might contain more subdirectories and the file. So we need to use the recursive way to copy. And to do this, we need to specify an option called dash R because dash R means recursive. Then in this way, we can successfully copy a directory into another directory. Like this. Now we can check what is inside of a DIR2. So you can see that now DIR2 contains documents DIR1 and F1. Is this clear? So we can just use one single command to copy multiple items into another directory. And if you want to copy contains directories, then you need to specify the option R. So then the command will recursively copy everything within this directory to the destination directory. Clear? Okay. Is it difficult? No? A little bit? Yeah. My suggestion to you guys to practice. Yeah. So, luckily you have your own virtual machine, so it will not break your personal computer. No, but this is just simple command, it doesn't hurt. Okay. Yeah. Okay, now let's. So you can use touch command, cat command to create files, right? Now you can use mkdir to make a new directories. And if you want to move them around, or copy them to different places, you use a cp command. Okay? And as I said, like each Linux command come with a set of options which can be used to change their behavior. So for example here, you can see this is R option. It's the one that we use to recursively copy a directory into another directory. Okay, so this is I think this is a very useful option. And you can also check other options. I think you might wonder where I ask question like, just ask you guys to remember all the options for each single command. No, the answer is not. I'm not going to ask these kind of questions, okay? So don't worry. For example, this is a quite commonly used option. Then I will just say, how do we copy a directory to another directory? Another directory, then you can say, we need to use the option R. But I want to ask others that commonly use option, for example, A or V. I will not randomly ask this kind of question in the exam. So don't worry, If I ask, then I will give you some hint. Okay, I will give you some reminder, the meaning for each different option, then you need to compose the command. Alright? So don't worry too much that, you need to remember a lot of things. Okay? Okay, so basically I have shown this similar example like this one. Because in this example, what I did is to copy a directory called ABC into another directory called desktop. Okay, and as you can see that I didn't specify R option in this command, so it shows that R is not specified. Then I change the command by adding this R option, then it works. So I think you can follow the slides to do some exercises and to practice. And also that I will try to upload the lab documents, because I think I provide 25 tasks in this document. So it's quite large, a lot, because I want you to practice a lot. So if you have time before the lab session, try to download the document. And I think it will be ready tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow. And then you can download and you can practice by yourself. And if you have questions, ask our TS, ask your group TS, okay, and discuss with your group. Because the more you practice, the more you will understand how you work. All right? Okay. The next one is a move. So we can copy, and also we can move. We can move files. So this command actually has two functions. The first one is a file moving. Okay, we can move a file from one place to another place. We can move a directory from one place to another place. We can also rename files and the directories. Okay. And after the command is executed, okay, then the original files will be deleted. This is a very different from the CP command, because when we make a copy, the original command will not disappear. But when we use this move command, meaning that we want to move something from here to there, then of course the original file will disappear from from its original place, right? This is it's quite common, right? Okay. So the syntax looks like this. So you specify command MV, then item 1 and item 2, meaning that you are either want to rename item 1 into item 2, or you want to move item 1 into item 2, if item 2 is a directory. So again, depending on the type of item 1 and item 2, and if the item 1, item 2 exists or not, the command will behave differently. Okay. And here, you can also move multiple items into a directory, as long as these directories exist in your file system. Okay, so then you can use just one command to move multiple items into a directory. Okay, let me show you some example. As you can see that I try to use this command to see what is inside of this ABC directory. And it shows that, okay, there's only one file called task1. Okay. Now what I need to do is that I want to copy this file, task1. Sorry, not copy. I want to rename task1 into task2. So I type this command. Move ABC slash task1 space ABC slash task2. So then I can rename the file. Then after this command executed, we can see that, okay, task1 disappear because it has been renamed into task2. Okay, so this is how we change the name in Linux. Okay, we use MV command. Well, so what if we want to move this file to our current working directory? Do you remember that I said that this single dots has a special meaning? It means our current working directory. And if we use a cd space dot, it doesn't change anything, right? It will not change our current working directory, right? But we can use this symbol in other commands, for example, mv command. So what does this mean, this command? Mv abc slash task2 space dot. Does anyone know? Yes.
It will move the task2 file and the ABC directory to the
Yes. So you know, you don't need to type a lot. You just simply type dot. Then you can move whatever you want to your current working directory. Just like this. Okay? Then afterward, you can check your current working directory by typing ls. You can see that the test2 is here. So what happened to the abc folder? You can see abc folder become empty. Because as I said, that the move, this command will move the item to another one, then the original item will be disappear. Okay? Good. And then there are some useful options to this command, including I, U, and V. Okay, but as I said, I will not ask you guys to remember this. Okay, so we can copy, we can move, or rename, right? Now, another function, just like when we are using a file system, we can delete, right? We should be able to delete something we don't want, right? So to delete something from your file system, we use rm, because it means remove. Okay, so the syntax like this, we can either remove one item, or we can remove multiple items. Okay, no matter they are files or they are directories. Okay, and again, this command also provides some useful options, like interactive, recursive. So let's say if you want to delete a directory, because a directory usually contains multiple sub-directories or files, right? So if we want to delete a directory, we need to specify the option R, okay? Otherwise, your share will complain that this is not a valid command. Okay, now let's look at this example. So you can see this is what I have in my home directory, right? And then you can see the second command is rm and space dash ri. R is recursive. Okay, I is interactive. And then you can see file 1 and the dir. What does this mean? Okay, so the command actually will try to delete file 1 and the dir. And file 1 is a regular file. Dir is a directory. And because I specified option R, and also option I, so basically that with because of this option I, then before the command delete everything here, it will try to ask you, are you sure? Are you sure you want to delete? Okay, so this is like to confirm if you want to delete or not. So you can see there are two questions here. Are you sure you want to remove this regular file, file 1, and this directory is dir? And did you see that I type y, mean yes, to the first question, and I type n, to the second question. So meaning that I would like to delete file 1, but I regret, I don't want to delete directory is dir. Okay, so after this command, you can see that file 1 is gone. It is deleted. But the dir is still here, here. You see? So with this command, with these two options, we can ask this rm command to delete a directory, and also remind us if we regret or not. So it gives us a second chance to consider, because if you use rm command to delete something from your minus, once it's deleted, it's gone. There is no trash bin in minus. Unlike Windows, there's no trash bin. In Windows, we can go to the trash bin and then undo, right? Undo the, and we can resume. But it means if something is deleted, then it's gone forever. So this is very, very dangerous, especially if you are trying to just practice some command, right? Some practice, some using IM command to remove something. Okay? So when you try to delete something, I think it's a good habit to include option I just to give you the second chance and to consider, okay, if this is what I want. Yeah. Okay, and then now I would like to show you how to change our rules in Linux. So as we said that each user can have different rules. For example, we are regular users, right? Ubuntu is a regular user on Sky High virtual machine. And then we can also change this to like different identity, like super users, the root users, because these guys, they will have a superpower. They can do whatever they want in the Linux system. So let's say if you want to see something which is not permitted for regular users, then you can change your identity into root user. Then you can see the content. Okay. So how do we do this? How do we change our role in Linux? There are three ways. The first one is very trivial. We just log out and log in back as an alternative user. But we only use this in Windows, right? Now we are using Linux, so we need to use commands. So there are two commands for this. The first one is a sudo. The second one is a su, sudo command. So let's look at the sudo command. So the sudo command allows a regular user to execute command as another user, so usually the super users, in a controlled way. However, on Sky High, you don't need to type any password. Okay, you don't need to type a password to use a sudo command because this account Ubuntu is a password free to use a sudo command. Okay. However, but if you are using your local Ubuntu, okay, if you have a Ubuntu locally on your desktop, and if you want to use this sudo command, you need to type your own password. Otherwise, you cannot use it. You cannot use this command. Okay, so can you try to type these two commands? Or maybe I can try to type these two commands, and you can see the difference. Okay, my terminal is here. Okay, we type the first command, less. Do you still remember what this command is? Less command enable us to see the content of a large file, right? Okay, so we want to see this file called /etc/shadow. Okay. Data permission deny. This file is quite special because it contains a lot of password information and also like sensitive information to each account. So only super users or root users are able to see the content. However, if we want to see, we can use the sudo command. So we just type the same command and add a sudo like this. Then we can see the content. Did you see that I don't need to type my own password? Because now I'm connecting to my Sky High virtual machine. And on Sky High, if you want to use a sudo, you don't need to type any password. But if you have if you have Ubuntu locally on your desktop, then you need to type your own password. Okay. Now in this case, you can see that I can suddenly see all the different accounts, you know, that when each account will expire, something like this. But we will not go into this detail, I think. I'm not sure. Maybe. Okay. 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 Is this clear? Okay. So,
if you need to update, or if you need to execute something, some command which require the root user privileges, then you can just proceed the command with a sudo. Then you can execute, yes.
How do you get out from the less...
get out. Okay, just press Q. The Q key. Okay, the other command is called SU. Okay, SU enable us to, sorry. So SU command enable us to start a share session as another user. Okay. So in general, if you use this command, you need to type your own, sorry, you need to know this root user's password. But how can we know? Usually we don't know, and they will not tell us, right? So we couldn't use this command, right? As I said, that you can use a sudo command if you want to temporarily get the permission to execute some command, okay? But this command is used when, for example, when sudo command, when super user, or like when root user, they would like to change their identity into another regular user because they, for example, they create an account for another people, and then they want to try if these people have a certain, you know, the setup for this person is correct or not, then he can change his identity into this person using SU command. Okay. On Sky High, so basically the user's password is unknown. And it actually is randomly generated. So actually we don't know. You cannot, don't email to the Sky High team, say that, what is a password to the root users in my Sky High virtual machine. They don't know either. Okay, no one knows. So this is why on Sky High we don't use this command. But what they teach you is because just in case that sometime latest, you might use your Ubuntu locally on your machine, then you need to know that you can use a SU command to change the identity to anyone, okay? And then, on Sky High, if you want to become a root user, you can run these two commands, sudo su or sudo space dash l. So I can show you. Do you still remember when we talk about the share prompt? We said the last character shows your identity. And as you can see now, it shows dollar sign, meaning that I am a regular user on my virtual machine, right? So if now I type sudo su